We're going to be back in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 tonight. But before we begin that, just something that I would share with you that I have, I first learned this last Christmas. You know the song Joy to the World? You know what that song's about? The second coming, the reign of Jesus Christ. We sing it for a Christmas song. We think it of as Christmas, but you know, it's easy to not look at the words. Have you looked at the words? Joy to the world, the Lord has come. He's not talking about the birth. He's talking about Jesus coming. Second verse, joy to the world, the Savior reigns. When is Jesus going to reign? The millennium, that's right. And you go on and on, and it just repeats and repeats. And this is a song that we always sing during Christmas, and we think, this is Christmas music, and it's a wonderful Christmas song to be. But it is a song that is a celebration. And you know, for us, isn't that a time of celebration? Isn't that the time we look forward to when Jesus reigns in all His righteousness and sin is not overtaking the world anymore? So if you ever want to hear a song, if somebody asks you, what's a song about the reign or the thousand-year reign of Christ? Tell them, joy to the world. That's it. All right? It's always fun and always interesting to learn where these songs come from. Another interesting one is Beulah Land. We won't get into that tonight. But it is very, very interesting. And most people don't have a clue. I didn't have a clue until I looked at and found the background on the song and the meaning of the song. So anyway, maybe I'll share that next week or another time. But tonight we're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not of persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but the wisdom or the power of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, oh, we thank you. Thank you for our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for calling us, for issuing that invitation to us. Come, you who are weary and heavy laden. Father, we thank you in knowing that the future is bright for your children. So, Father, I pray now that you will bless us as we look into your Word. Teach us, Lord. Guide us through your Holy Spirit. Convict of sin. Draw us to you, Lord, that we might grow in you from this study tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to share one other thing with you. As you know, we've got the spring concert coming up, and just wanted to share with you and encourage you about that. If you've got somebody, this is a great opportunity to use as an outreach. Okay? And if you have someone you'd like to, you've been wanting to bring to church or invite to church, that's the perfect opportunity. Tickets have been set aside for that. All you've got to do is claim those tickets and give it to a friend. Okay? Wonderful outreach. This isn't about selling tickets. This is about reaching people. Okay? And so, if you have some folks you want to invite and you want to provide their way, you just see Brother Greg, you see Miss Ruby, or any of us in the church office and use it as an outreach opportunity, okay? But now, title of the message tonight is God's message. And you know, this morning it's all about how helpless we are and, you know, how that God has chosen foolish to put to shame the wise and the weak and the, you know, everything this morning, or most of the message this morning, was about how weak and incapable that we are, okay? Now, you need to understand that, and actually, you need to embrace that, because you need to know that in this work that God has called us to, we cannot rely on ourselves. And that's backed up in Paul's writing here in verse 2, chapter 1. I'm sorry, chapter 2, verse 1. And Paul backs that up when he says, I did not come with excellence of speech or wisdom declaring the testimony of God. You understand that phrase, excellence of speech and wisdom declaring the testimony of God. He's talking about he did not come and try to impress people with his speaking ability. He didn't come using well-educated words. He didn't come trusting in anything of himself that he could do. But instead, he was trusting something else. Do you know why we don't share our faith? I mean, bottom line, I've heard this numerous times as a pastor. You know, Brother Doug, I want to talk to this guy, but I don't want to offend. Brother Doug, I want to talk to this person, but I don't want to look dumb. And I don't know enough. Brother Doug, I'd like to talk to this person, but I don't want to say something wrong. Where does all that come from? It comes from a self-reliance. Let me tell you something. If you're saved, you can talk to other people about Jesus. Bottom line, you don't need a big class. You don't need a 12-step program. If you are saved, you can share who Jesus is with other people. You have to get over depending on the wrong person. As long as you say, I can't, or I'm scared, or I don't want to say something wrong, you're looking to the wrong person. It's not about you. You're just the messenger. We depend upon God to provide what's needed when we do it. Paul, he continues there in verses 3 and 4 when he says, I was with you in weakness and fear and trembling. Everything that Paul says here is Paul points to his inability. I was with you in weakness. That word weakness there, it literally means sick. When I was there, I was sick. What was the sickness? We don't know. Probably related to his thorn in the flesh. But when you looked at Paul, you didn't see this big, strong guy who was able to deliver the message of God. Paul says, man, I was sick with y'all when I was there. Not sick of you. I was sick with you, right? And in fear. That word fear is not just, man, I'm nervous. That word fear is dread. And in trembling. That's what that word means. Have you ever been so afraid? You shook? There have been a couple times in life that's happened to me. That's afraid. And what I think, and I'm guilty of this, you know, I look at the Apostle Paul, and I look at all he did. And I put him up on this pedestal of he always spoke the truth and he never backed down and, you know, how bold he was in declaring the gospel. And we never pick up on the fact that Paul was not some superhuman apostle. He was a man who had the same fears that you have and experienced the same tremblings and the same infirmities and weaknesses and sicknesses that all of us have. The difference was he knew how to trust God and rely on God to provide what was needed in the moment. You see, he was so afraid that if you look in Acts chapter 18, verses 9 and 10, he was so afraid that God had to appear in a vision to him. And when God appeared in a vision to him, God said, don't be afraid, but speak and do not keep silent, for I am with you. Listen, I don't think that message was just for Paul. I think that message is for all believers as they serve the Lord. Whether you're a teacher, whether you're a witnessing to a friend, or whatever the case may be, God's with you. You've got to trust, be able to trust in God that said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That He'll provide what you need. God, when he's just simply saying to Paul there in Acts chapter 18, Paul, trust me. Trust me. I've called you, now trust me. The greatest news that I can give to the believers today who are serving God is just trust God. Are you afraid? Trust God. I don't know how I'm going to do this. Trust God. Bottom line, God can be trusted. Isn't that great? He didn't stop there. He went on verse 4 and he's still tearing down his own abilities. His preaching was not with persuasive words of human wisdom. Of course, you know what the word persuasive is. It means to convince. Paul said, it wasn't my job to convince people. He did not preach to convince. That was not Paul's job. Paul's job was to declare. The Spirit's job was to convince, convict, and to convince. See, I think that's another area that we get a little bit mixed up in. We witness to somebody and they don't make that move at the time we witness. You understand, you just witness. You just share Jesus. And you leave it in God's hand after that. Never, never judge yourself from that. Well, you know, man, I must have done something wrong because they didn't hear what I said. No. If you shared Jesus, you did what you're called to do. When Paul shared Jesus, did you know, all the Jews rejected him. Acts chapter 18 once again. Now the Gentiles, they responded, but the Jews, they reject him even to the point that they wanted to hurt him. So what are we saying? I'm saying don't judge your ministry based always on what you see. Okay? It's not your judge, or it's not your job to evaluate. It's your job to testify. Every opportunity. So it comes back down, and I know a lot of this is very closely related to what I preached this morning, but it comes down to this. You're just the mail carrier. Okay? You're just the message bearer. Don't get confused and go beyond that. Well, if I would have or if I could. No, you're just the message bearer. The power is not in you. The power is in the message. Okay? The power is not in the messenger, it's in the message. Look, in verse 2, Paul said, "For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." That word determined, of course, it gives the idea of Paul made up his mind. He was not there to give in to fear. He was not there to give in to his sickness or whatever frailty he was dealing with. He was not there to give in to the Jewish crowd to be admired by the Corinthian philosophers. He wasn't there to impress them with his vast knowledge. He was there for one reason, and that was to declare Jesus Christ. That's our job. Let people see Jesus Christ in you. Be quick to share what Jesus has done. You know, and also remember, when you share, you might see souls converted and you might not see souls converted. That's God's realm. You share. You share. You might even offend someone. That's God's realm. You share. You might even be attacked. You know? That's not your department. You're just the message bearer. They don't reject you. They reject Jesus. That's why you've got to make up your mind. Even tonight, before we go out, I'm going to share, you know, I'm determined to share Jesus this week. Yeah? Now, I'm not saying you always have the privilege of going down the Roman road with somebody. Because, you know, that doesn't come along every day. But the opportunity to share the goodness of Jesus comes along every day. Listen, we've got to be willing to make that determination. Or we'll never see the power of Jesus. The power of the message. Paul said in verse 4, and I love this part. He said, And my speech and preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Isn't this where we want to be? I want to read that again. Not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Isn't that what we're looking for as messengers? Is a demonstration of the power of God. Because that, my friends, is what changes lives. Listen, when Paul was preaching in Corinth, those who believed were not a product of Paul's ability, but the power of God. And even though everyone was not converted, some were. Some were. Listen, you'll never win anybody to Jesus if you never tell anyone about Jesus. Doesn't that make sense? And the bottom line is when we realize we can't, but we trust Jesus enough to realize that He can, it makes things a whole lot better. You know? Sometimes I think we've done Christianity so much that we kind of even have the idea, oh, I can do that. You know, I can teach that class. Preachers, I can preach a message. We're depending on the wrong people. You know? It's not about me preaching a message. It's about me sharing Jesus and then letting God take over. You know, we're all in the same boat as far as who we are and why we're here. Yeah, I'm a preacher, but we're all here to let the world see our wonderful Savior. If you'll notice, in most churches today, what's missing is conviction. And the conviction I'm talking about is not the excitement as it's being preached. I'm talking about the conviction of the Holy Spirit, where people are brokenhearted because of their sin, where people are moved out of the pew because of the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that what we want? Listen, I'll be honest with you. You could say, Brother Doug, that's the worst message I ever heard. But if somebody came to know Jesus, that would be worth it, wouldn't it? You know? I did the poorest job that I've ever done trying to witness to a person. But if they came to Jesus, that's okay. That's all right. You see, that's the foolish confounding the wise. That's Paul's point here. And the reason this is so very important is in that last line, okay, of verse 5. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Why was Paul pointing out his inadequacies, his weakness, his lack of ability to speak, and his trembling and unable to convince people? Why was he pointing that out? Because Paul was not trying to build a following. He was trying to build a church of people who had placed their faith in Jesus Christ, not in the Apostle Paul. You know, I think the sad thing about many people today is they build their faith on things other than Jesus. You know, there are a lot of preacher followers. There are a lot of denomination followers. And you know what? There's never been a preacher that saved a soul. Not one. There's never been a denomination that has saved a soul. Not one. The only one that can save a soul is Jesus Christ. Pretty simple, isn't it? It's pretty simple. When we quit trusting ourselves and we realize the power and that God is made available through the message and the conviction of the Holy Spirit, it begins to take, just quite honestly, it begins to take the pressure off. You see, when we think we're important, then that kind of stresses us out. But when we realize we're just carrying the mail, the rest is up to Jesus. I love Matthew 16 and 18. You know, we're not building denominations. We're not building preacher followings. Or God's building a church. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. Now listen, please get this. That verse, when he said, your name's Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, he's not talking, saying, I'll build my church on Peter. That is not that verse. Okay? When he says, your name's Peter, Peter, your name's rock or little stone. But upon this rock, what is this rock? He's pointing to himself. Upon this rock, Peter, I will build my church. Why is that so important? Because if you build it on any other foundation, that will not stand. It's all about Jesus. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. Not about what we can do. It's about what Jesus can do. And you know, again, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Why is that so important? Because men disappoint. You know, we all, you've seen people get their feelings hurt because somebody didn't do something in the church or the preacher didn't quite suit them or whatever. Listen, no. Quit following men. Our faith is built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ and the power of God. Understand where that power comes from. It's not dependent upon you and your ability. It's dependent upon Him. You just carry the mail. Heavenly Father, we thank You. Oh, we thank You for Your Word. It's so beautiful when we realize, Lord, it's awesome when we realize it doesn't depend on us. That we're just messengers. You've told us to go to the world and make disciples. We do that by sharing who Jesus is. What an awesome Savior that He is. Father, help us to share. Help us to get over the nervousness and fear and weaknesses and inadequacies and just live boldly and determined in our hearts to let the world see Jesus Christ in us. Father, now this invitation, we pray Your will be done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.